Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 113. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And as per usual, we saw some movies for you. But just want to start off with a little bit of news, although I don't know if this qualifies as news, but whatever. So the new adaptation of Stephen King's It is finally coming out this year. I think it's August, September, somewhere in there?
I think it's either late August or early September.
And they finally released the first teaser trailer, which honestly was like more than I would expect from a teaser trailer. I just wanted to kick around like what you thought of it. I thought it actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, surprisingly good.
Yeah, because this is a... Like the production has been plagued by all sorts of problems. Different creative leads. Like it was at one point, it was the director of True Detective season one, who was going to write and direct it. I think part of his script is still in here somewhere.
Let's see. On the script, on the screenplay, it's Gary Dauberman, Chase Palmer, and Carrie Joji Funkanaja.
Yeah, that's the director of True Detective. Yeah. I don't know the guy who's directing it now. I still have reservations about it, but like, I honestly thought that the movie would be bad because of these problems. Mm-hmm. I also a lot of Stephen King adaptations are not good anyways.
Most.
Some of them are good. Yeah. Some of them are great, and most of them are not very good. But just based off this little teaser we saw, one, it's I like the vibe of it. Like that one, it does look like it takes place in the past.
Yeah.
It has the whole Stranger Things kind of vibe
to
it.
Which, very much, which is funny because Stranger Things pulled a lot from Stephen King.
Yeah, you can't really like knock it for that because Stranger Things was like Stephen King, basically. It looks good. I think the kid actors look good in it. It just looks like a well-done movie, like the quality of it. I do still think that the clown looks weird, like... you only get glimpses of them in the trailer, but you know, we've seen pictures of them and stuff. And I tend to agree with what our friend Aaron says in that, like, he shouldn't look like an evil demon, like just when he's the clown. Like, yeah, it's okay for him to look a little weird, but like, he should just look like a clown, like just unsettling. But this thing is clearly like Satan, you know, like
right,
you know. I don't know, but I don't think that's like a deal breaker. I think if anything, this trailer got me excited to see the movie. So hopefully it pans out.
Yeah, I really am hoping this works out because we could use a really good Stephen King adaptation.
I think that it deserves, like, I know people think it, like the original miniseries from the 90s is like this holy grail, like untouchable thing. I think that movie's bad, except for Tim Curry. I think Tim Curry is the reason people like remember that movie so fondly. I don't think the movie itself was very good.
And this isn't the only Stephen King adaptation we're getting this summer.
I know.
Which really weird. And we haven't heard anything. The Dark Tower actually comes out before it. It comes out September 8th. The Dark Tower is July 28th, and there's been nothing on that.
Yeah, it's yet. A little, it's worrying. I would hope that they know better than to screw that one up. I mean, people have been waiting for the Dark Tower forever.
Yeah.
It doesn't already have an adaptation out there, so like this is it. And like if they do it right, you're talking a new.
It's a new series of films, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which like could be. I mean, it's not going to be Harry Potter big or anything, but it'd be pretty big if it's good. I can't believe there's not a teaser or anything for that yet. Yeah, you said that's what, June or something crazy? Like
July 28th, yeah. So it's only like 4 months away.
That's really soon. Yeah, so
yep.
Hopefully they'll show us something. They showed like a poster or whatever within the last
week. Yeah, there is a poster, and there are like production photos and stuff that are out there, but
yeah, I've not actually seen any of those. I don't know. I hope they both turn out well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, just wanted to open with that. We're both big Stephen King fans, so just wanted to throw it out there. But yeah, it looks good.
Yes, it does.
Hopefully somehow magically it's actually good, but we'll see. If not, we always have Stranger Things season 2 coming. So
yeah. Sometime next year.
No,
you're right. It's October, right? Yes.
It actually comes out on Halloween, which yes. So I know how I'm going to be spending Halloween this year, binge watching a Netflix show.
8 hours of that.
I probably will. I mean, that's kind of what I did when the first season came out last year, is I just like watched it within a day or two. Anyways, well, let's get to the movies. Chris, you went and saw Life, which I am actually very interested to hear what you thought of that.
Yeah, so Life is new Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds thriller set on the International Space Station sometime in the future. A probe is coming back from Mars, and it has samples of Martian land on it. They're hoping to grab it, like, on its way by and do some tests. And if you've seen the trailer, you know that they do grab it. And what they find on there is a dormant life form that they somehow resuscitate by changing the atmosphere in the test tube. And it grows rapidly. And then the film kind of becomes Alien.
Yeah, I mean, based on just the trailer alone, it looked like, honestly, for a good portion of the trailer, first time I saw it, I thought it was the new Alien movie.
Yeah, you could definitely see, like, because it, you know, people in space, they're dealing with science, there's something creepy going on.
It's beat for beat, like the trailer, anyways. It's beat for beat Alien 1. It is like
very, the original very Alien. Much, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, if like the crew gets along, something goes bad, they quarantine the guy.
Yeah, someone gets attached to the organism. Like, yeah. Are you saying the movie as a whole is also that? Alien?
It's very much Alien. Like, because the entirety of the film takes place on the ISS. So, it really is beat for beat Alien. It's fun. There are issues with it towards the end, which I feel don't really work. And I don't know how they could have worked it out better, because the ending of it, like the entire time they are trying to keep this organism from reaching Earth. And no matter how you do this, it feels cliche, right? Like you can go the one way and it's like, hey, everybody's happy and the organism's dead and everyone lives happily ever after, or it goes to Earth and everyone fucking dies. Like, either way, like, we've had so many movies that go either way that it's like, there's no surprise here. And I think that the way they set up the ending, it's supposed to be a shock, but it's like, oh, of course they did that. So it's like that kind of pulled a little bit out from it because it didn't feel inventive at the end. But I don't really know why I felt it should feel inventive, because the entire film is really just Alien. Like,
well,
a more realistic telling of that story.
I mean, I guess I could see why you would, though, because you got to put some sort of spin on it. Like, if you're just redoing stuff we've seen.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even this organism starts out small, it grows, like...
Does it become, like, a creature at some point? Like,
Well, I mean, it's not like body size, but yes, it like becomes a creature that has very defined features, like you would maybe call it a face type thing. I mean, they basically make a monster into this thing by the end, and it's a terrifying looking creature. But yeah, it's I really liked the movie up until that ending, and when I left the theater, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't know if they went the other way, if I'd be any happier. So, but yeah, if you know, maybe I really enjoyed it. I think it works really well on the big screen because the vistas and the space station look amazing on the screen. But I could definitely see people maybe wanting to hold back and see this on video or something. So.
All right. Well, I'm glad you saved me. I mean, I still want to see it, but I think I could wait, especially with an alien movie coming out very soon. So.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I was intrigued from the very beginning, like first time I ever saw this trailer, but like the whole time I'm like, God, that looks like Alien. Like, what, you know, is there anything else to it? Apparently not really.
Actually, there is, and I'm going to throw this out there. There is a way that they could have made it the ending so that I was a little more on board with it. So this was done by Columbia, which is a Sony Pictures group. And Sony owns the Spider-Man rights. And by relation, they own the Venom rights. And the story for Venom is that, you know, astronauts have gone to Earth, they bring something back, and the symbiote, like, takes over at that point.
I think where you're going with this.
and it has not. This has nothing to do with. And there's a recently announced Venom movie as well, that takes place outside the Marvel universe. So it has nothing to do with the Spider-Man movie coming out. I think if they had gone that way and made this a prequel to Venom, I might have been a little bit more on board. But maybe that is also me having just, you know, seen Split earlier this year, and they end it with it being like a. Holy shit, this has something to do with, like, that would have been awesome, but...
Yeah, yeah. we're gonna, like, keep on wanting stuff like that now, because, like, what he
did was
so fucking incredible. Not to, like, I won't say any more about that, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I saw immediately where you're going with that as soon as you said it. I was like, yeah, that would be cool. Final rating... Verdict.
I'm going to go 4, but I can definitely see people not enjoying it as much as I did. So, and that ending does have issues.
All right. I will. I'm sure I'll see it once it comes out. I guess I'll let you know. I only saw a couple movies this week, so I'll throw out one of the ones I saw, which was The Eyes of My Mother.
Okay. I've been interested to hear what you had to say about this. So.
Yeah, this is – I didn't really know too much about it. I'm sure I'd heard of it. I mean, obviously I'd heard of it because I rented it. But, like, yeah, I don't remember what I had heard about it. I didn't really know what to expect going in. I was not super, like, anticipating it or anything. All I really knew is it was, like, an indie horror film that was in black and white, which – you know, that is correct. I think it's like a first-time director. And yeah, this is a weird fucking movie. So this girl is growing up on a farm. You don't know a ton about her parents, except that her mom was like a surgeon or something somewhere. Like, and you see her, like, them working on the farm, like her mom, like, killing a cow and, like, cutting it up and shit and cutting its eyes out and stuff like that, like, doing those disgusting things. And this girl's, like, watching and being exposed to that. And one day, this, like, weird stranger, like, walks up to their house and asks to use the bathroom. And, you know, he's not a nice guy. And shit goes crazy from there. And I don't know if, like, as a result of what happens there, like, she is fucked up, or if it's like her parents had always raised her to be a fucked up, and the parents were also fucked up. But let's just say after this day, that farmhouse is never the same, and it's just some crazy fucked up shit going on in it. The movie starts like proper, I would say, like after like 20 years after that, where this girl's now an adult and she's living in her parents' farmhouse still. I don't feel like it's worth going into too many specifics, but it really feels like an art house Texas Chainsaw. I think that's how I put it to you.
Yes.
But from the view of the family in the psycho house, like, so you're following this girl around all the time and she's not all there. So if
Leatherface was the protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Essentially, it's very much if Leatherface was the protagonist, except that, you know, this girl speaks, like, she doesn't just grunt and, yeah, and it's in black and white, and it's short. It's like an hour and 17 minutes. So, like, it's done and over before you know it. But, like, in that time, it goes into, like, increasingly really disturbing places. Like, just really fucked up material. Like, I know this is, like, an easy one I always throw out there, but, like, you know, Martyrs level, like, nonsense.
Hey.
But it's all like Texas Chainsaw Massacre was for the most part. It's left to your imagination. Like, even more so than Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it does not show violence. Like, the film very, very rarely shows any sort of violence. It usually will, like, cut away, and then you're at the next scene, you're like, I didn't get to see the kill. Like, what the fuck? I'm not, you know, maybe it's because I'm a child of the 80s. But, like, I expect, like, that's when I was a kid, at least, that's why I was watching these damn movies, is to see the kills.
It's like it's almost like a tease.
Yeah, but, I mean, because the stuff that's happening off screen is so absolutely, like, it's not even the violence sometimes. It's just, you'll see, dude. Like, it's just the places it goes is, like, taboo subject matter, okay? So it's not always necessarily just violence, all right? Yeah, it's fucked up and it's disturbing and it's artistically done, you know? Like, it's got a lot going for it, and it shows, I think, a filmmaker with a lot of potential in the genre. Just because of all these, like, little strengths, I think it is kind of a must-see for horror fans. I think that your mileage might vary a little bit, like how much you like it. I actually liked it quite a bit. Like, maybe it's because I wasn't expecting much out of it, but I really kind of enjoyed it. But not just me. I watched it with my girlfriend and her daughter, and her daughter is a horror fan. My girlfriend's not. They're both totally into it. They're like watching the movie and paying attention and being like, that's fucked up. Like, every couple of minutes, like, whoa. They were just not a fan of the ending, and I was fine with the ending. It's one of those ambiguous, like, you fill in the blank endings.
Okay.
But it definitely, like, it's not one of those movies where, like a lot of bad indie movies do, where they just kind of end out of nowhere and you're like, most recent example I can think of this is American Honey, where it's a 3-hour movie that goes nowhere. And then, like, at the ending, nothing happens. Here, it's reaching a climax, and then it cuts to the credits. So it kind of, it's not like nothing is happening at the end. It's not like a boring ending. It's just you get to fill in what you just, like, you get to decide what happened, which I'm fine with that. Like, it doesn't bother me. I don't know how you feel about endings like that, so.
Yeah, it could be fine.
Yeah, like, to me, I'm fine with ambiguous. I just don't like when it's a nothing ending, and this is not a nothing ending. Like, something happened. You get to decide what that was, but yeah, I liked it. I'm not going to go crazy high in the rating. I'm going to give it 3 stars, but there is more than enough to appreciate there for horror fans. And as far as if you're not a horror fan, I don't know. Like I said, I watched it with people who did enjoy it, but it's fucked up material, so it depends on your tolerance for that stuff.
All right. I can get behind that.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely like one you have to, I'd say you have to check out, but
I just added it to my Amazon watch list because I don't see where else I can watch it, so.
all right, well, the fuck else? You saw, oh, look, we have to discuss this. I just booked a Disney trip. You just went and saw Beauty and the Beast.
I just saw Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, dude, so like I guess before we even get to your review of it, do you have any sort of attachment to the original
Yes.
animated film? Okay, yeah, me too.
I would probably rank the original as my favorite, like, classic Disney movie, so.
It's honestly, it's probably number two for me. Number one being Pinocchio, but
Okay.
and that's like golden age Disney. So, but like if we're going that era, like let's say we're going that era, like Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast era. Like I know most people are like, yeah, Lion King, like that's the best one. I always thought Beauty and the Beast was the best one. I don't know why, but it just
I
worked for
think
me.
it has some of the best music. I think it has,
Yeah.
like it's just a classic fairy tale. Like, I mean, The Lion King's
Yeah.
great, but there's just something special about Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
And yeah, like there's so many things from just the original animated movie that like still stick out. And I love the tale. I've actually seen the stage show that Disney's done. I saw it twice on Broadway and once here in Philly. So I've seen like that 3 times. So yeah, like I have a very big affinity for this story, and that original movie.
So, all of this being said, does Beauty and the Beast 2017 do justice to the original? No.
So it's perfectly fine.
Okay.
Emma Watson is decent as Belle. I actually think like the costuming of the Beast as Dan Stevens, who plays the Beast, is great. Like, I think they do a great job of creating him. I think everybody is actually really well done. Like, they made a big hubbub about like LeFou being gay. It's hardly even like noticeable. Like, if they hadn't called it out, like you wouldn't even fucking know.
That's kind of what I figured that would be.
There's something charming about that original movie though that doesn't necessarily translate here. This is a perfectly fine adaptation. But if you were to sit me down and go, okay, you can watch the original movie or you can watch this one, I'm always going to pick that original movie. This just doesn't bring anything new to the table. There's a couple new songs. They're not special though. Like the ones that you want to hear, like, are Belle in the beginning, which is the one where she's like walking through the town. There is like Be Our Guest. Like, they do a good job here, but like it's not like the visually amazing thing that like Be Our Guest was when you saw it on screen for the first time then. It's like, that's neat, but it doesn't quite like me. And I don't know, I've seen Beauty and the Beast like on like over the last few years, the animated one, and that still stands out as such a great scene. Gaston, like that scene's still really fun. Like, it's a great song and dance number. Let's see, like Kill the Beast at the end, like where they, everybody is, Gaston's getting everybody riled up and they're marching towards the Beast Castle. Like, those songs are great and they're still great here, but there's just something kind of lacking.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, I have high hopes. Like, even still, you telling me all this, I hope that, like, when I do see it, I just enjoy it and I have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't come out of going, oh, that sucked. Like, I'm glad I saw it. Like, that was fun.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy watching this story. I enjoy that music.
But now you're having to assess it as you know, like, as a critic and as a follow-up to or reimagining of what we know.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine them topping it either. Like, that movie is kind of concise and perfect. Like, you know, it's
That's part of the issue here too, is like, that animated movie is so concise. It hits every note, like, it moves at a really great pace. This movie adds some stuff, and it's well added. It's very, I like what they added to the lore. Like, they add a little bit more to the changing of the beast and how, like, in the original movie, we kind of just get it in, like, this maybe 30 second to, like, maybe a minute and a half quick tale about how, you know, the old hag shows up and she asks for shelter and he turns her away and she becomes, like, the beautiful sorceress. But they kind of, like, play up that, hey, the prince is kind of a dickhead, like, early on. Like, like, he's kind of an ass. And there's a reason for that, and they actually dig into that, but it's like, it's not necessarily that you needed to add that. It's nice filler. It's like, cool. Like, and they change around some of the things with her dad, with Maurice. Like, he's still kind of like this eccentric guy, but he's more of an artist in this one, as opposed to a inventor of weird, wonky stuff. They just make it a little more realistic than what it was in the cartoon. And because of that, it takes away a little bit of the fantasy. Like, and like, oh, this is like some crazy world. Like, Maurice is this crazy inventor and he does crazy things, and like, and it's believable that nobody would actually buy into him saying there's a beast, because they all think he's crazy to start with. Like,
yeah.
But it's, I enjoyed it. I think it's still a good movie. I don't think, like, aside from them casting people who couldn't sing and doing some terrible, terrible special effects, like, that's the only way you could really destroy this. Because I've seen, as I said, I saw it on, like, the live version of it on stage multiple times with different people playing Belle. Like, you can fit people into these as long as they can do those characters and kind of hit those marks that the cartoon has. So, just, it's kind of an unnecessary thing.
And beyond that, like you said, at the end of the day, if you're ever going to watch it again, you're probably going to watch the animated.
Yeah.
What'd your kids, did you see it with your kids or no?
Yeah. They liked it. Like, but I also don't know if, like, we were, like, going to sit down and, like, hey, which one do you want to watch? That they wouldn't pick the animated one either. There's just something.
Oh, so you didn't ask them, like, hey, which one did you like more? Or, you know?
Yeah. We didn't really get into it, but, like, they came out, hey, like, it was fun, but they also know the songs and
because
they've seen the movies before. Said, so
it's you know what it is. It's good. You go in, you kind of know what you're getting.
Yeah,
it's just like a cover band of it. Like yeah. So
yeah, it was. Yeah, it was no worse than the stage show. So
yeah, like that's. I don't even know if it's curiosity or what. I'm like, oh, I like that tale enough. I wouldn't mind seeing it, like, in a different way. But I fully expect to come out of going, yeah, I'll stick with the animated.
Yeah, but it's fine.
It's still there's a possibility within the next week of me going to see it. Like, that's still how much I'm just like, ah, that would be fun to go see, you know?
And, like, part of me wants to go, like, Disney, why did you do this? Like, why? Like, it didn't need to be done, right? But Disney's going to turn around and look at the box office receipts, and that's what they're going to point at and be like,
that's why.
It didn't need to be done, but it's also made us $750,000 in 2 weeks. Like,
and we're going to keep doing it.
Right. Like, it didn't need to be done, but we know what we're doing.
Like, yeah.
So, yeah, it's fine.
And you know what? Like, honestly, as long as Disney is still putting out new original stuff, which they are.
Yeah.
And very good
stuff. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yep.
It's like that one. Was that one last year? I didn't really care for. Was it George of the Jungle?
Well, they put out the Jungle Book, the live action.
Oh, the Jungle Book. I don't know why I always say Jungle Book.
And but they also released Moana last year, so
yeah, like it's fine. Yeah, it's totally fine. I know, and like people love the Jungle Book. I will never see that movie again, but whatever. I'm intrigued to see this one though for whatever reason.
Here's what I'll say about the Jungle Book, and I really like the live action version of the Jungle Book. If I had to pick watching the live action version versus the animated version of that, I'd pick the live action version.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Like, but I don't have any deep love for the Jungle Book.
No, that's the thing. Neither do I. Like, I wouldn't watch either Jungle Book again. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, that's probably where I'm at. Yes.
Yeah, but you know, Beauty and the Beast, I have a hankering to actually see the animated film. I probably haven't seen it in 20 years. So,
that's so good.
Yeah, I'll probably have some Beauty and the Beast report soon, whether it's the old one or the new one. But I guess I'll throw out the only other movie I've seen this last week, which is Loving.
Okay.
It is Jeff Nichols' latest film, director I really like. Stars Joel Edgerton and Ruth Negga as an interracial couple back in 1958 Virginia, I want to say. And in a time when, like, it was illegal for interracial couples to marry, they got married and got into, like, a big fight with the state. It's a true story. I was so fucking bored watching this movie. I didn't like it at all. Like, I think the biggest problem with the movie by far are the central characters. They're like these rural people who are very shy and quiet, and at no point in the movie, almost no point in the movie, did I feel like their characters connected, like, to each other, to me, like, at all. Like, I was just like, I'm supposed to care about these people because, like, I understand what's happening to them is bad and that this is a true story, and, like, yes, that means you should, like, care about the subject, but, like, it's so dull to watch these two, like, especially Joel Edgerton. Like, the thing, like, they lean so hard into this idea of him being like this average Joe, like, working guy, that Joel Edgerton ends up fucking, like, nodding and grunting his way through this entire performance, barely speaking a word through most of the movie. And I'm just like, why can't, like, when the state does something bad to these people and they, like, really screw them over, like, why isn't he voices, like, outrage at some point, like, at least to her, like, why are they so fucking quiet? Why won't they say anything? Like, it drove me nuts, dude. And it's just, I mean, that's not the only thing with it. It's just this fucking slow, long, like, the movie's a little over 2 hours, probably like 2 hours and a couple minutes, right?
Okay.
But it never, ever finds a pulse. Like, it's not just them. Like, the movie as a whole never finds a pulse. There's times when you think it's going to, the music will start to pick up, and you're like, all right, this is when it's going to pick up, and it's going to get going, and then it goes shifts right back to first gear. Really weird. It builds to this big court case that the court case lasts about a minute and a half in the movie, and it's that, not
that's
even
almost,
like,
what you kind of want to watch. Like, you
want
to
you want the big payoff, right? Yeah. And this, like, I think it thinks it's subverting that expectation, but, like, not in a good way, because I'm not satisfied by anything. Like, I think I saw, like, one critic's, like, I was looking through Rotten Tomatoes because I could not believe it. After, like, and I, like, I think I saw one critic say, like, yeah, it subverts expectations by not being a big courtroom drama and ends up focusing on the couple at its center. And I'm like, yeah, but that couple is really, really boring to watch.
So, right, there's no drama in them, so...
Like, there's natural drama, but they don't ever react to it. Like, so...
Right.
What the fuck? Like, dude, I mean, I was bored. I was looking at my phone. I was doing a billion other things while watching this. But when it finally got to the court, like, case at the end, I thought, okay, this is going to be good. And you have, like, this kind of, like, lawyer who hasn't proven himself yet trying to do the case. And he just gives up, that goes up there. Stupidest speech ever. Like, it sucks. And it's not even a full speech. Like, I'm telling you, the courtroom scene is, like, a minute long. And then just cuts to, like, them getting a phone call because they refuse to go to the court case because they're so shy and private. They get a phone call saying, like, you won. And they're like, yay. And that's the end. I'm like, dude. No. Like, I'm sorry. I fucking – what the fuck? And, like, I really wanted to like this movie. Like I said, like, I thought his last movie, which also came out last year called Midnight Special, like, I thought that was pretty – great, like,
right.
So I don't know. And then of course all of his movies have Michael Shannon. He's in this one as well, but he's in this one for about as long as the court scene. Like, he's in the movie for like fucking maybe 5 minutes tops, and he's like this Life magazine photographer who shows up to take pictures of them and like talks to them. He hangs out with them for a minute. I don't know. Honestly, he could have made Michael Shannon the lead, and like him doing nothing, just with his fucking crazy face, more than
would have worked better.
Yeah, but God, dude, no. I mean, it's a fine story, like life story, great, you know. But the movie I thought sucked, and I'm gonna give it 2 stars.
All right. Well, that's disappointing.
So that's all I've seen. I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to
do. I saw one other movie. I saw Passengers.
Heard quite a bit about this. I like actually know the mislead. Like, I don't know if you know. I don't know if you knew going in like how misleading the trailer was.
I mean, I had heard about it before I'd seen it. Like back. Right before it came out around Christmas, like, it seemed like everybody was talking about the twist with it. Because the trailer kind of makes it seem like these two people wake up on the ship that is going to a new planet. They just wake up and they are the only ones awake, and they still have like 80 or 90 years to go before they get home. And then shit starts to go bad on the ship.
Yeah,
that's kind of the like the basic, except there is like something that happens.
It's not a twist, really. It's
no, it's not a twist at all. Leading. Yeah,
yeah.
It's just like it leads up. So, yeah, Chris Pratt wakes up first. Some shit happens early on, and he is the only one that wakes up, and then you're kind of like left with him on this ship for a little bit, and you see him slowly kind of like unraveling in his loneliness.
Yeah.
And he, I'm going to spoil this here, but he wakes up Jennifer Lawrence.
It's not, it shouldn't be a spoiler because it's just a dishonest trailer.
Yeah.
I know some people would say, no, anything you say is a spoiler. Well, then don't listen to a movie review show.
To talk about this movie, you need to know that. Like, mm-hmm. I can't talk about this movie without that knowledge being out there, because there is a good movie in here. But because of what Chris Pratt's character, Jim, does – to Jennifer Lawrence's character, Aurora, it changes the dynamic. Like it makes, and you fully understand why Jim would do such a thing. Like, you're fucking lonely. Like, and there's all these people that are around you
yeah.
that could wake up, but by doing so, you are dooming that person to death.
To die with you, yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it'd be fine.
Right? Like, yeah, like they would live, like, provided like the ship doesn't, nothing happens to the ship on the way there. But yeah, like, and it is like, if you take away that creepy dynamic and you go by what the trailer was trying to tell you, I think this movie actually works pretty well. Like, Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence have great chemistry together. They're fun to watch. You believe that the two of them actually like each other. And you don't need the weird creepiness of it added on top, because you also, like, you have the drama of the fact that the reason that Jim was woken up, and ultimately another character is woken up as well. The reason that they are woken up is because the ship is failing. Like, there are problems with the ship. And you could have played around with that to make it so that you don't have to hate Jim. Because...
Well, I have no... Like, I think... All right. The actual premise of the movie, like, not the trailer premise, but the actual premise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with that if that's what the movie's about. And it deals with the ethics of, like, what it he doesn't. Did.
Like, that's the problem.
That's fucked. That is totally fucked.
Yeah. It's there. Like, and so he wakes her up, and then they go for a while, like, with him in this relationship with her. And he has – so there's the – like, you've probably seen in the trailers that there's, like, the robot bartender. Jim has talked with this bartender. He was the only thing, really, that Jim could talk to for a whole year until he woke up Aurora. And he basically tells this robot bartender, like, you can't tell her that I woke her up. I'll tell her when I feel it's time. There's no secrets, like you need to hold this secret. And then he makes like a line where the two of them are together at the bar, and he's like, there's no secrets between us. And then he kind of leaves, and the bartender's like, oh, well, if there's no secrets, then obviously she knows. And the bartender accidentally spills that Jim had woken her up. And so, like, very briefly, like, she's angry at him for a while.
Come on, that's it?
Yeah, like, she's like, pissed, like at him, and, like, they don't really talk, like, and then something else happens to the ship, and another character is woken up, and then from there, it's kind of, like, cycles through that, hey, the three of us have to work together. And at one point, there's a line of dialogue where this new character has found out that Jim woke Aurora. And Aurora's like, you know what he did, right? And this guy turns to her and goes, yeah, but, like, what do you want me to do about it? Like, the three of us are going to fucking die on this thing. There's nothing we can do. And, like, the fucking ship is falling apart. Like, like, we got more important things to worry about than that. And also, like, do you blame him for waking you up? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, so that's how they deal with it. That's it. Like, that's, like, and then it's all kind of focusing on the drama of the ship falling apart, which I think is fine. Like, as, like, that's perfectly fine. If you wanted to deal with the ethics of it, there's a different movie there. But it's not this movie.
I just think it would have been cool to watch him, like, and them falling in love, but the whole time he's got, like, this guilt, like, knowing what he did. And, like, if you focused on that, like, that's fine. It's fine that he did something terrible.
Right.
But, like, make him really think about it. Like,
there's a different movie here. Like, there are two different movies that they could have done, and instead they combined two.
Yeah, that don't fit
things together.
Really.
Don't fit.
Yeah.
like they don't go far enough with the fact that the ethical implications of him waking up somebody because he's lonely, and they just gloss over it in a movie that's really about them being woken up and trying like to make sure that all the other passengers on that ship live.
It's so weird. Like, and I still want to see it because, like, I still.
It has some.
I don't know. I will.
Beautiful,
see it,
beautiful visuals. Yeah. Like there really is some like great looking stuff going on here. There's a really cool scene where, Jennifer Lawrence she's swimming in this pool, and because the ship is falling apart, the gravity breaks, and so. She actually gets stuck in like a water bubble that is floating up, and she's trying to escape. Like, it's a really cool scene. Like, there's a bunch of stuff like that in this movie. It's just, it never hits hard enough on anything, and that's a shame. So it's kind of just, it's just a middling movie. And I could see where people are like, oh, like, that's a really creepy thing, and they just kind of gloss over it, because they do, but whatever.
So middling score for middling.
Yeah, movie, yeah. I'm gonna go with a 3 there. So,
all right. Well, I'm that covers everything you saw, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's about it. I guess I will just leave on one final note, which you know, we cover movies and TV here, but there is a new podcast out called S-Town. For podcast fans, it's you've probably heard of it if you're a podcast fan, but it is from the people who made Serial, which is probably the biggest podcast out there. It is Chris, have you listened to any of this podcast yet?
I have listened to episode 1.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess the basic initial premise is this reporter gets contacted from this guy in a small little shit town in Alabama, and the guy's like, yo, there's like crazy stuff going on in this town. There's corruption. There's possibly a cover up of a murder because this, you know, this rich kid beat some other kid to death, but because he's rich and his family has influence, like the cops are covering it up, and you got to come down there and check this out. And it's like, it's really like, kind of like eccentric guy that calls this reporter, contact. And this guy is just fascinating. The guy that's like reaching out, and he's just quite a character. And honestly, I thought instantly really likable, despite the fact that he might be crazy. I don't want to say anything more than that, since Chris, you've only seen the first episode, except to say that like. Don't expect this to be a Serial season. There's a reason they did not call this Serial, and they gave it its own name and its own separate thing, because it's not quite what you think. It's fantastic. I started listening to it yesterday while I was at work, and when I got home, I kept listening while I sat around and played Zelda, and I finished the whole series in one sitting.
Wow.
And pretty incredible podcasting. Like, it just... It's something completely new for the genre. It feels like American Literature, despite the fact that it's a documentary, documentary radio show, basically. It's poetic. It's beautiful. The people in it are fascinating. It goes places you won't expect, for sure. Including like, I mean, there was a part when I was listening yesterday where, like, out of nowhere, and I'm delivering mail as I'm listening to this, I started crying. I was like, damn, dude, like, it like sucker punches you so bad. If you are a podcast person, and you know, if you are, like, probably if you're listening to this, you're a podcast person. Right. So, fucking subscribe to S-Town. It is, honestly, I think maybe better than Serial. So it's great. Chris, I can't wait to hear what you think of it, but definitely everyone should check it out. Okay. That's it.
Yep. I I liked what I heard of that first episode, so.
Yeah, it's just, I just don't want to say anything more because I don't want to ruin anything for you. So just, yeah, I'll be interested to hear what you say. That's it for this week. I'm sure we will come up with some stuff for next week.
Yeah. We'll be back, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully. Never a guarantee.
No.
But thanks for listening.
Movie dudes. Do-do-do-do-do.